Hello and welcome, friends. I hope you all are good, healthy. So far what we have learned in this subject is more towards understanding of infrastructure components. I mean, what are the servers, what are the data centers, what are the network components, and so on and so forth. Today we will be deep diving on the infrastructure security prospects. Okay. We all of us know, right, that security is how much holding the relevance, importance, and what may you call it as, right? And especially in this current scenario of working from home, more and more organizations are offering remote working. People are given a choice to work from their convenient place, from their convenient internet connection. People are also given a choice to work on their own device. So the specific element of BYOD, bring your own device, which we listen. You are also given a freedom to use your own MacBook or your own laptop, whichever way you are comfortable, and to connect onto the organization resources. Now, having said this done, right, and having all these policies implemented, there are a lot of efforts which goes in at the back end from the security folks. It's not very easy as it appears, right? So let's talk a little bit more on why security of the infrastructure is important and the several other aspects. Okay. So after this chapter, you will be in a position to understand more about why there is a need of the IT security. Okay. We will also be talking, or I'll walk you through certain best practices which industry as a whole follows for building or making the infrastructure strong. We will also be talking about some state-of-the-art solutions called as an SIEM, nothing but about your security incident and event management. So before the incident actually comes, you can monitor, you can take a proactive decisions. And finally, we'll be talking about the overall architecture, landscape, the defense in depth thought process on the security, and as we progress in this chapter. Okay, so let's start thinking on the trend. Okay, so if you carefully see the diagram, the colors have been given the legends here. So you see that the phishing attempts, the blue bar, which is being overshot. Why do you think it's happening? This is just because by the way of sending a spoofed email, or by the way of sending an email which asks user to take a secondary action. Say, for example, I'm sure many of you might have heard about receiving some email which has a link. You click on the link, you enter your username, password, and then you may see some transaction happening on your bank account. You may see several other persons within your organizations have received an email on your name. You have not sent an email, but because you clicked on that link, because you installed that software, because you double click on that attachment, maybe some malware is injected on your machine, and which is kind of doing the crazy work. Obviously, once the malware is installed, it is talking continuously to the command and control center of the hacker or the intruder, and it silently keeps on sharing all the informations which you think you have secured, right? So just notice the diagram properly, and if you see that the attempts of malware, the attempts of phishing, the attempt of DNS spoofing and all is on a high, and this are ever increasing. Okay, even the organization set up their own state of the art technology, they set up state of the art devices, but at the same time, what one needs to understand is the hacker also are changing their way of working. Okay, there are a lot of social engineering attacks are also happening, because human being a weakest link in the entire security or information security chain, there are several attempts being made to either steal the information, or maybe by bribing, or maybe by making a friends and so on and so forth. So in a nutshell, what I'm trying to touch base a point on is the security incidents are very much in high and shine. If any one of your friend or somebody who is working in the security area, ask them how difficult it is to prevent these attacks, right? You never know next morning is going to welcome you with what, right? So moving on, why the importance of security is holding a lot of relevance. So we have n number of reasons to substantiate that. However, we'll touch base on the few important ones. Number one is we are right now living in completely volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous world, which is called as a VUCA, a V-U-C-A in the corporate world, right? Think about the volatility. The businesses are increasing. The businesses wants to expand. The businesses wants to try new things. Businesses want to, do something proactively for the customer, right? The demands are ever changing. At the same time, the technology solutions are also ever changing. At the same time, the methodology of the attacker is also changing. A lot of volatility is here, if you notice, right? Plus, as I said, next morning you never know that how you're going to be welcomed with the incident, right? So it's very uncertain. Today, even if you want to travel from one destination to another destination, especially in Mumbai, you have no idea what is the traffic going to look like. The traffic probably on Monday would be completely different than the traffic what is going to be on Thursday, right? Uncertain, right? You never know when your car is going to break down. You never know, what new demand your CXOs are going to bring you on the table when you come on the office next morning, right? So it's completely volatile world. Complexity is I don't think it needs an explanation. We have, just look at your architecture of your organization. See how complicated it is, right? Don't understand that only humans are complicated. Even the devices, architectures are also complicated. And at the same time, ambiguous. There are a lot of gray areas. I'm sure many of you might have heard the statement from the senior management saying, you should try working in the ambiguous environment, right? You may never have, or you may have a hard time to get the clarity of thought, clarity of mind. So the environment is going to be ambiguous for years to come, right? So all these factors are going to affect the security and the IT infrastructure of the companies, right? As I mentioned earlier, working from home culture is being now very, very prominent. Earlier, the companies did not have any such policy. Now, say about 3-4 years back, they started with 2 days in a month working from home policy. Now everybody is working from home, or everybody wants to work from home because they think it's more productive. So company has to catch up, company has to build the security solutions to cater that need of the customer or the need of an employee, right? At the same time, the mode of connectivity. If I'm working from home, if I'm talking to you today, I'm using the unsecured internet connectivity, right? So I don't know how much secure my internet connectivity is going to be. And as I said, the attacker landscape is also changing. There are several governments also hire these attackers to target the other governments, and we know the countries and all stuff. And at the same time, finally, the infrastructural demand. We are moving on a cloud. We are giving more and more exposure to our infrastructural sensitive devices, sensitive components, sensitive data to the external parties. So again, the volatile and uncertain environment we are living with. Okay, so having discussed all this, right, one thing is also very important for all of us to understand is the digitization journey. If you are into a manufacturing company, people talk about Industry 4.0. If you are into the financial institution, or if you are into, say, some high-value transaction company, they talk about Internet of Things. I can recollect an example wherein one of my friend works with one of the transport company in US. Their primary job is to just move goods from one location to another location within US, and they use the truck as their majority way of transporting the goods. Now they have thousands of trucks, right, which are keep on running. The requirement of the company is to ensure that my truck meets with a minimum downtime or minimum outage of my truck, right? So what do I need to do? I need to proactively have the maintenance of those trucks, those tires, and so on and so forth. So as we speak today, they are actually running a solution which is based on Internet of Things, which we'll also be talking about more in the last chapter. But in a nutshell, what I want to explain is that these sensors are keep on sending the information to the centralized control center. the engineers who are getting all these messages, they have all the information of truck wear and tear, or say the truck tires wear and tear. They know for sure that after say 3 months that the truck tire is going to fail. So what they do, they proactively reach out to the drivers and they call the truck to the facility wherein they can replace the tire proactively. So trucks are always up on the road, always running, right? These things are happening, right? And the need of a digitization, the need of manless weighbridge, the need of automation is again keep on increasing. And at the same time, the attackers are also have become sophisticated in their nature, and they also give the targeted attacks when they know that this gentleman is a CFO of the company, and maybe his email ID must be being used or operated by the secretary. Secretary may not be so vigilant, so smart. So probably let me try and target. Right, so these things are happening. Now, one more important thing on the uncertainty which we need to understand is the risk of known unknown. You might be wondering, how can a known and unknown be the same thing? But think of a scenario wherein you have an employee within your company and who is associated with a terrorist organization or associated with any other competitor, and tries and give a lot of information to the competitors, right? It is the you know the employee, right? But you don't know what he is or what are the activities he is involved in. This is happening a lot in the defense, like army and all, wherein the neighboring country tries to sneak out and make friends of the existing employees of the defense establishment. They try and get the information. I'm sure you might have heard the news in the newspaper and several. So known unknown, that's a problem. Our own employees stealing information, giving it to the competitors, and may create a problem. Unknown known, you may not know how many people, how many attackers, how many hackers are waiting for the vulnerability to be exploited. Okay, and that's completely unknown. You may see that your application is being hit by some IP which is originated from Russia. You don't have any establishment in Russia, neither you have any employee who is from Russia. Why in the world, somebody should try and access those servers from Russia? At the same time, if you have something in say Egypt, you know that okay, something is expected from Egypt. But if you don't have anything in UK, example, right? If the person is traveling and all, it's okay, I understand. But there may be a couple of instances. But if there is these hits are on rise, maybe things needs to be investigated. So you don't know that what are unknown sources from where you are going to be attacked on. Complexity, we already discussed that, it is also referred as a TTP. The attacker's mindset is also called as a TTP. TTP is nothing but tactics, techniques, and processes which they use. So as I said, they are very sophisticated now. You may even don't know that the hacker is sitting in your environment for say 6 months. They are keep on getting or gathering the information silently without disturbing any environment. And the moment they see the right time, okay, they initiate an attack. And then you and your security team is on the fire to overcome that problem, right? So sometimes if you do not have the high sensitive proactive information or tools, then you may have tough time to deal with such situation. Finally, ambiguity. As I said, we always have the gray areas, right? In terms of people, in terms of the knowledge, in terms of the architecture, in terms of anything. At the same time, we may have the shortage of the skilled staff, right? We may have the lack of understanding on the complexity of logs which we receive from several devices, right? Right? If you have an SD-WAN solution, the probably the output is in .json form. If you are using a Cisco, maybe the output of the logs could be in a .txt form, right? So it needs to be analyzed. It needs to be understood in a meaningful way. So when we will be talking about SIEM solution in this chapter towards the end, we'll talk more about it, right? Look at this diagram. Do you think it's complicated? For me, it is not complicated because maybe I'm carrying about, say, 15, 16 years of experience. So I know that this is the way it is and I'm going to live with it. But it is complicated, right? So when we talk about the security architecture as a whole, we generally use a terminology as a DID, defense in depth, right? So you might have seen or you might have heard or you might have read that whatever is the most critical information of the defense establishment, right? They are kept in the most secured layer. Same holds true for our corporate world as well. Why? If you think that you have a very critical ERP system, you have a critical database, or if you have a critical payroll related information, if you have critical financial related transaction information, if you have a critical call related record information, right, which is you think it's your core business information, and if it gets leaked out, if it gets compromised, then you may be out of the business, right? So all these critical information, the example which I gave, needs to be highly secured. So to highly secured, what do? You establish a layer, right? And that's what is called as a defense in depth or a layered approach. Both are same. So layered approach, if I spend a little bit of more time here on this slide, so layered approach is nothing but, you know, the exterior most layer, which is called as an untrusted layer. So say for instance, you are using the email from O365, okay, from either airport, from your home internet, and so on and so forth. So it's, you're coming from an unprotected internet, unprotected network, right? Which will be at the perimeter level, okay, at the very first layer. So what you need to have to you know, secure in the first place, you may have the web application firewall. If you are accessing some applications of your own organization, you may would like to have the hardened internet routers. You may would like to have the layer 7 firewalls. You may would like to have the DDoS as a device or a solution, right? So all this could be a part of your perimeter security. If you come further level down, you may have the network level security, which probably welcome you through IDS, layer of IDS, IPS, or hardening of the core router, core switches, right? Or maybe you have some more defined parameters on the VLAN front. So that could be something on a network security. Server security is nothing but again hardening of the server operating system, hardening of hypervisor, having the identity and access management properly placed, and finally your database. Your database would have what? Your database would have its own hardening. It will have the encryption in place for masking the sensitive fields and so on and so forth. So understand in a holistic way, the defense in depth approach is nothing but it comprising all the necessary technologies, all the necessary ideas, all the necessary solutions in place to protect your most critical application of the business, right? The beauty of defense in depth approach is nothing but, you know, in case one mechanism fails, you have the another mechanism to protect. So if any one of you might have visited the US embassy for the US visa, or maybe for the any consulate for you know, visa application, you might have seen that there are layer of securities. You may be welcomed by the physically armed security guy. Maybe then you will be welcomed with the metal detector. Maybe after that you might have a turnstile door. Maybe you are being watched all the time via camera, and so on and so forth, right? So that is nothing but a defense in depth. Whenever you are visiting airport, you might have seen that there are several gangways you have to go through it. Why? It is just, you know, that if there is some breach happening or you know, some damage needs to be protected at some level, it can be you know, the protected, right? So that's a beauty of defense in depth. Again, the multi-layer approach is also specifically built with the heavy redundancy. Why? Because you would not like to have again the weak mechanism there. So say for example, if you are building the perimeter firewall, maybe it will be a good idea to have two firewalls so that one firewall fails, you have another one to, you know, kind of pick it up. Traditionally, so this approach is not new. Traditionally, if you see the older days, like how the Maharaja and, you know, the kings of the world used to protect their castle. So you might have seen in the story, in the cartoon, or you know, somewhere in the movies, that you have the large wall, maybe of 20 meters height. You may have the guards deployed. Again, you have a very high armed door. You may have a river, if you want to cross, or if you want to come into the bridge, into the castle, you have to probably cross that river, right? So in the event of intrusion from the attacker, they kind of break that bridge. In fact, as we speak today, between North Korea and South Korea, there is a bridge which connects both of them. So if you get a chance to visit, South Korea, try and make it to the DMZ, which is the world's highest tensed zone, right? So if you notice that area, they have a bridge, right? And they also have a mechanism that in the event of North Koreans attacking the South Koreans, they have a flexibility to say blast off that bridge, right? So that's how the defense in depth approach kind of works. A very important concept, you must understand it thoroughly, right? So let's run through the little bit of more on the defense in depth. So whatever you saw on the diagram, it's the outermost layer, which I just explained. It may be a pair of firewall, it may be a pair of internet routers, which may be facing your non-trusted zone. Coming back to the innermost one is maybe your coding, your secure coding, your database, where you are housing the payloaded information, and so on and so forth, right? So in a nutshell, defense in depth approach is a key for a success. And again, at the same time, the necessary evaluation, the necessary finalization of solution should be there with adequate due diligence, right? Moving on to the information security model, which is called as an ISM. Nothing but what you see is at the top, you are governed by the several set of policies, procedures, and all. Then you come with your own risk analysis. Risk analysis is again a very important element. Unless you know the risk which is active in your environment, you will not have a mitigation plan. You will not have a remediation plan. You will not know what needs to be protected and how it needs to be protected. Is it made aware to the senior management that this is the risk I am foreseeing it? Right, so that's something about the risk analysis. But at the same time, the core is nothing but your business drivers, your need of the business. That's something overrides everything. Everything should be in line, aligned with your business requirement, right? At the same time, once you have the risk analysis, once you have policies in place, your planning and implementation goes in. Once it is done, you have the operations and the sustenance phase. One important element after all this is, keep on checking, keep on evaluating whether all the controls, whatever you define in the policy level or at the policy level, are they actually enforced on the ground? And that's where you have the auditing and the due diligence, due care kind of practices to be followed, right? Just a continuation, what is a process is nothing but you plan it, you implement it, again, you evaluate on a continuous basis. So it's a completely a cycle, right? Which keeps on going from the information security or IT security management perspective. The similar thing goes in for the infrastructure lifecycle also, which we discussed some time back. But this is also pretty much same with the security practices, security management practices or a process, right? So moving on to a further, how do you think that these components should be placed whenever you are designing the architecture, right? So whenever we were discussing the objective of this chapter, we also kind of discussed that we will be learning how the component placement is going to be in this chapter, right? So let's understand it more, right? So very first thing, internet security. We use the terminology as a catch-all term, right? Because it's coming from unknown, as I mentioned, the job of the internet security is to capture everything what is getting received. And then probably as per the legitimacy or as per the rules applied on the firewall, it will allow or disallow the transaction to come inside my network. right? So what it contains? So my internet security would contain the plugin on the browser, the hardening of the browser, or maybe some specific authentication, to be required for accessing my portal, my application. Maybe a secure certificate or SSL certificate is required. So all this could be an example of the internet security. Coming back to the perimeter security, nothing but somewhat similar to the internet security, wherein something which is going to hit you first on your device, right? So the perimeter, firewall which we spoke about, the web application firewall access, which we spoke about, the DDoS as a solution which we spoke about, right? So all this could be a part of your perimeter security. These are your logical perimeter security, okay? You also need to consider, so when you say the perimeter, you also need to consider the physical security. So what could be a physical perimeter security? Maybe a wall, which you can, as an organization, define, whether you want a 6-meter wall, you want 8-meter wall, and so on and so forth. You want a fencing, you want a barbed wire, like how we see it on the borders and all. So in a nutshell, the perimeter security consists of your logical security as well as your physical security. Logical is what we have discussed about the web content filtering, your firewall, your DDoS devices, and so on and so forth. Whereas in case of physical security, it's something which is either the gate or the fence, or you have the CCTV camera surveillance, and so on and so forth. Demilitarized zone, DMZ. I'm sure all of you might have heard this terminology already. But DMZ is nothing but a zone, which is kind of, having a extra protection. Or, I would say in the isolation, which has the, understand it more detail. So, in the firewall traditionally, or on the architecture which you define in your office or in your organization, you see one is the untrusted zone, one is the trusted zone. But in between, there is also a zone, which is called the demilitarized zone. Now, this demilitarized zone could be 1, could be 5, could be 10, as per your organization need, right? There is no hard line that there has to be only one demilitarized zone. But traditionally, if you are hosting any server, or if you are exposing any of your server to the outside world, it is recommended that you put it into the DMZ so that it has an additional layer of firewall rule protection, right? Sometimes, since you are also exposing them to the outside world, you may not give would like to provide your private IP address to the external people. So you obviously have to NAT with the public IP from where they can come and access your application. So that's what is the consistence of the DMZ. Web servers are generally placed here in the DMZ, which is going to be accessed from the outside. Okay, now IT security. Let's switch a little bit of gears and understand more on the IT security. So in your organization, if you are responsible for building the security practices, maybe for your department, for your entire organization, for your independent unit or office, you must think from the hacker's mind. You must think that how hacker is going to attack my environment, right? So basically, when we talk about the intruder or a hacker, they are of two types. One is, I said, known unknown, and one is unknown known, right? So one is insider, one is outsider. So let's understand what is more on the insider front. Okay, so if you have any employee who is attacked on a social engineering front, or maybe he's a disgruntled employee, like he's been asked to leave within 2 months, obviously he may not be a happy employee, right? So he probably try and steal as many information as possible. He may also try to damage the organization at the great extent. And that's why sometimes all the necessary privilege accesses are removed once the employee is on a notice period, or once the employee has been asked to go, within specific time. So that's something on the insider front, wherein if there is a willful intruder who is known to your organization and he wants to create a damage, he'll probably not cause the harm himself. He'll probably walk some other unknown person inside the office premises and probably ask them to create a little bit of damage. Okay, outsider is nothing but an unknown people, and there are a significant amount of people waiting on the internet just for you to open the vulnerability. You open the vulnerability and bang, you are there for a compromise, right? Now, as we speak today, we have several examples of Air India, whose 48 lakhs of customer data was, you know, leaked out. We have the example of Swiggy, whose customer data was, you know, kind of exposed. We had an example of Sony, whose customer data was exposed. Why you think it happens? It is just because of the improper control built in the organization, and the attacker is, you know, taking advantage of them. Now, this attacker could be your competitor, could be your partner, could be very much your reseller, right? So you may not know, right, what are the intentions. So that's why I would treat them as an outsider, because they are not part of my organization, but they know a significant details about my organization, and they probably may exploit the problem, right? Thank you so much for listening to me.